All right, letting go, half day retreat, part four. So first part, Shavasana and the deep dive of letting go. Part two, some announcements and some fabulous questions about vision. We've been learning today about how much vision and letting go are deeply connected. Part three was a deep dive into the what and the why of letting go, of how much it's both in the micro and the macro level of our lives. It's happening all the time, all the time, all the time, and how deeply it's connected to gratitude, to vision, to faith, to being able to actually manifest what it is that we want in our lives. So that's where we've been in this retreat so far. And I wanted to check in, and I left you with a question before the break. Oh, just before we talk about the question, what we're going to do in this section is I'm going to give you some. Let me see. I'm going to ask you. How do I best put this? We're going to come back to that question about, well, what do you need to let go of to actually enact what's in Science of Getting Rich, right? And then also, well, where is it that we need to let go? What are some of the key places that we want to let go in order to enact that vision, in order to get to that next level? And again, I can think of 50 places, but I wanted to give you some very key places that if you focus there's so much movement there. All right. So that's where we're going. And then of course, laser coaching. So where are some places where that letting go will help you move into the vision? And I'll talk about how we're going to do that in a little bit. So I wanted to first ask you about the science of getting rich. And the question I left you with was, you know, what do you think you need to let go of? What did not think you need to let, what do you need to let go of in order to enact what Wallace Wattles talks about in the Science of Getting Rich? And I gave you some of the points that he talks about just to remind you of some of the pieces in that beautiful book. Did you get a chance? And I did say also, if you didn't think about that, that's okay too. I'm going to let go of the fact that you, maybe none of you thought about it, and that's fine. Or maybe some of you did. So let's just create a space in case anything bubbled up for you in that. Yeah, Anna Maria, thank you.
So mine came out pretty fast, and I wrote it down. I said, I really need to let go of this identity that I created about myself, of the small self that has stopped me from living my life to my full potential.
Anna Maria, this is beautiful. And well, I think it's beautiful because it's one of the three things that I picked, actually, of the 50 things there could be. And they're all good. They're all so important. And they're all going to be personalized to you. But this is the number three of the three things I wanted to talk to you about. What do we have to let go of? Small self. Yes. I know that's a big category, small self, but what are all the ways that I can see myself acting as small self? And when I'm doing that, it's going to block that vision every single time. And so, you know, that's that aiming for the ceiling and hitting it, for example, right? And that I did some training about that. You'll recognize the connection between what Anna Maria said and some of the training from the Yoga Sutras, right? The kleshas, that the very first one is avidya, not knowing how big I am. Whenever that happens, I suffer. When I'm acting from small self, I gotta let that go. The yogis tell me I'm gonna suffer, and we don't need them to tell us, like, check it out in your life, right? They just go, like, check it out in your life, you'll see, right? They're just observing what happens, right? So, yes, that's huge. That's one of the three categories, even that I wanted you to think about. Like, where have I noticed that I'm playing at small self? When I'm doing that right at the get-go, I'll write out all kinds of things. All kinds of what I think is possible or not possible, right? So, and Diane, when you said, oh, wait, I don't have to have everything perfect to be able to go and offer that, right? Small self would want to cross the T's, dot the I's, make sure I've got it, you know, do it over like for a year and a half before I go out to talk to a single person, you know? Small self and letting that go. Otherwise, how could I even, I can't even envision. I won't let myself. Thank you. Beautiful. Yes. What else? Heidi. And thank you for pointing me to, I want to make sure we get there to what you wrote in the chat. That was great. I read on the break. Very first thing I did on the break.
I have to let go of the idea that I can't do whatever I choose to do because I don't have formal training as a coach.
Ah, You guys, thank you. Thank you so much for this. You know what? Because this is an example of part two, like the second thing, you know, talking about, well, how and where do we need to let go? So Anna Maria, that's number three, small self. It's right here on my page in front of me. And Heidi is an example of number two. And this is a broad category, but when we remember this, I mean, it's right at the heart of all the training that I do always everywhere, disempowering stories. I have to let go of the disempowering stories to do that. I have to do all kinds of things. I have to suss them out. We're doing all kinds of things in and around that in all the ways that we play together here, right? But that's a disempowering story. Because I don't, and it goes like this, because I can't fill in the blank, therefore I can't fill in the blank. You know, it's one version of the umpteen versions of a disempowering story. For years, Heidi, it's like, because I don't have formal training as a coach, I can't fill in the blank. Then from that place, if I don't let go of that disempowering story, I won't even start to envision. I won't even dream that's possible, or I'll do it like a pipe dream, like an exercise. I'll hold myself back because then I want to go, well, it's probably not going to work. So if I hold myself back, I can still imagine that the pipe dream could work, et cetera. Disempowering stories like that one. And that one, very particular for you. It comes, those disempowering stories come in the form that's very particular to you. So Heidi, so thank you for sussing that one out. Then we have in other places in our community, ways to play with that. Like to take a disempowering story and use it as fuel for our, as a launch pad for our greatest success, right? How do we transmute that? What is the value in that? And so on, like we do that elsewhere, right? And we may do a little bit of that in laser coaching, but really fantastic. Without moving through that, that vision that you talked about on Tuesday, it's like, oh my goodness. It's not 5,000, it's 10,000, right? As long as I don't break through Anna Maria's about small self, and I'm going to go back to small self, it's like, oh, maybe it should be 25 cents, right? You know, and then also, as long as you hold on to that disempowering story, if I don't have formal training as a coach, it's going to tend to shrink. So to hold to that vision, to know it, to actually enact it, letting go of that disempowering story. Yes, thank you. What else? Let's hear one more. What do you need to, and the question was, what have you remembered or thought through so that you can think through the connection between what we're doing here and what I just, you know, assigned to you, like read the signs of getting rich. This guy is really smart and kind-hearted and visionary, right? And we can dovetail what we're doing here with what he's talking about there. So anything else that bubbled up? Yeah, thank you. Marnie and then Karen.
The belief that I have to do it alone.
This is huge. Oh my goodness, Marnie, I am so glad you said this. Yes. I used to talk about that at the university, and I know that's got all kinds of loaded ways to think about it, but it is, you know, Western culture still has this very old, very racist even, and very, you know, disempowering story about it's the Lone Ranger, you know? I'm the Lone Ranger, I have to do it all alone. I mean, it totally forgets all of who is around, even in that story, that old and awful story. Forgets that he is in a web of other people and somebody right beside him and so on, right? So, like, you know, the myth of the Lone Ranger. I've got to do it, it's got to be me, and there can be all kinds of levels of stories underneath that too. I've got to do it alone because only I can do it, because I know better and other people won't get it. And then it's not trusting people too, right? And then it's also thinking I got to reinvent the wheel, but I'm going to find my own path through, and that that I, you know, like I'm going to reinvent everything instead of like leaning in and learning things and being connected with the community and finding out that I have resources around me and ways that I can not have to be isolated, because I don't know anybody who's not only as a business owner, but in any arena who's made it all by themselves. I mean, do you guys know anybody? I don't know anybody. I mean, and Maria, I think about your riding coach, right? Who's in that world, and you've been working with her for 10 years, and the depth of knowledge and wisdom and experience, it would like, it would be on the journey that you're on, it would be insane not to do that, right? You know, I mean, of course you want to know that you're not alone, that you've got that support, that you can get there so much faster, so much more easily. And it's the cliche of avidya too, like not knowing how big I am, how connected I am. Marnie, beautiful. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Karen.
The not enough fears.
Not enough. We can, that one, not enough time, not enough money, not enough resources, not enough connections, not enough, even saying a couple of them and the energy goes like this in the room, right? Mm-hmm. All the different versions of not enoughness, mm-hmm. which are all, I would put those all too under the first klesha. Avidya, not knowing how big I am. So I don't know how big I am. I don't know how resourced I am. I don't yet, you know, and that not enoughness will block the creation of the vision, much less the manifestation of it. Right. And so I've got to let go of that. You know, here we're talking about letting go. I've got to let go of that, that I've got to do it alone, that I'm not enough. All these are also examples of the disempowering stories that I can carry. And as long as I'm carrying them, if I don't let them go in one way, shape or form, I can't enact that vision. At least I don't know how to do it, or I'm going to do it by pushing and it's going to like come out of my body, et cetera, right? Okay, these are really, really great. Thank you for this. This is a really fruitful area of discussion and contemplation. You can journal about this afterwards. I would. No, this will lead to all kinds of fruitful things for you. So I want to add, I want to put a bit of structure around this. And again, you can keep contemplating that, you know, what do I need to let go of in order to enact what he talks about vision, about creation in the Science of Getting Rich. Great. It's a great empowering question, right? And then the next step is, well, then how do I let go of that, right? I want to, now how do I let go of it? So the categories I want to give you, I gave you number two, disempowering stories. You gave that to me. I gave you number three, Anna Maria gave that to us. Let go of the disempowering stories, let go of a small self. And the one that I have taught indirectly, but not really directly before. So I want to teach at least this new knowledge for me to teach it in this way. Number one, under letting go. And this really came to me as I was doing my yoga practice this morning. It's tension in the body. It's a very physical. Because we store those disempowering stories. We store that smallness. We store all that in the body. I mean, you know how, if I'm sitting like this, how am I feeling? It's both small self and a disempowering story, right? You know, I'm hunched over. I don't believe in myself. My shoulders are rounded. I'm just like, I don't believe. Everybody's sitting up a little taller now, right? You know, but our stories are written right into our bodies. It's both my yoga work and my PhD work. It was part of my area of study. There are people who study this and understand how those stories get written, inscripted right in our bodies. It's part of what I was working to understand in my PhD work. Why hadn't, you know, I've done some yoga with some of you before. I've helped us actually physically do that, but I've never named it in that way before. Tension in the body. If those stories are stored right in our bodies, what's the best way to say this? If we don't release them, we stay in those old stories. And so have some way to release tension from your body. Releasing the disempowering stories will do that. Even like I can see you, Dawn, even just breathing better in the moment. And there's tension that's just washed away from your body just in this moment now. Did you feel it? Right? So there are ways to do it, but by the story itself, as we let go of the disempowering stories, it has profound effects on our bodies. We can also go there directly. I begin my day not only with Shavasana, with my yoga practice. Am I 100% consistent with it? Of course not. I'm human, you know? But today I started with an hour, you know, wasn't even my best practice, but it was an hour of removing tension from my body. And I realized it's such an important component of what I do. It's more of that unconscious competence. You may have different ways to remove tension from your body. It might be that you're a runner. It might be that you do Tai Chi. Maybe you go to the gym. I don't know what you do, but there's physical ways. You be with your horses, you know, this, right? There's many ways, oh goodness, Reiki, right? You know, many ways to release, stop arguing with the, you know, with people and communicate better, you know, like just, you know that that you just have to love me. I mean, there's so many ways, right? Actually have the courage to leave behind a former vision of smallness and live into your life. Maybe through travel, right, Marnie? You know, so many ways to release tension in the body, but I wanted to mention it directly. There's a spin-off effect from releasing the disempowering stories, but directly, because I do that all the time, walking, even hiking, you know. There's many ways that I do it. I'm getting my bike fixed. I've cycled my whole adult life, with the exception of the last few years, for various reasons, but my bike is getting fixed tomorrow. I'm so excited. And I think in a way I discovered story freedom. I spent years at university learning, then teaching. And often, I used to say this often, I haven't said it recently, but what I really learned was on my bike ride en route to and from the university, because that's how I got there. That was the deepest learning. And I learned many, many amazing things. I'm so grateful to my teachers, right? So tension in the body, what to let go of and where to look for it. Tension in the body, disempowering stories. Those disempowering stories will put tension in the body and vice versa, right? Tension in the body, disempowering stories, small self. I want to give you those three categories. There's 100 that I could give you, but many, many things will fall into those categories. Is your body hunched up? Are you having it hard to breathe? Years ago, I had digestive issues. I couldn't eat gluten or dairy. I'm 6 years. I'm fine now. I couldn't have melons, gluten, dairy, bananas, any alcohol. I mean, there's a whole list. I can't even remember what else, because it's like my body was, you know, there were disempowering stories and tension in the body and so on, right? So have a practice that releases tension from the body. It was an hour of yoga for me this morning. I went for an hour long walk yesterday. I'm going to go, I hope, for another one today. I'll go for another one first thing tomorrow morning. Like, what is it? Maybe you swim. Maybe you love my bike. I love that. What is it that will release tension from your body? It's really hard to release that disempowering story when the tension is held in the body. As we release the disempowering stories, we breathe better. And we want to be able to breathe. Think about on stage. I'm thinking about Karen's an example for, you know, like something comes up in a conversation or on stage or something. Breathing. The shoulders aren't up near the ears. And you know, and there's physical effects of it. I could speak for a year on this. Just one more minute. It has very physical effects. One of my colleagues, I have a Fitbit because I like to measure it now, you know, and my Fitbit, I'm sleeping better and better because what gets measured gets done, you know? So what I used to think of as a good night's sleep isn't anymore because it's getting better and better. And then I know what my resting heart rate is as well. And I was kind of surprised by it 2.5 years ago when I first got my Fitbit, because I'm like, I thought it was actually what it was supposed to be, but my resting heart rate is for the last 3 years has typically been about 65. 65 beats a minute, and my doctor tells me that's good. And but it come one piece that it comes from is releasing tension in the body. It comes from all three of these things, actually. And I'm not a marathon runner. I don't do those things, right? And I haven't even been on my bike recently. But it has physical effects in the body. And then you can bet that in that strategy session, on stage, at an event, meeting new people, whatever, networking, like all the things that we do, as you're doing your Reiki session on someone, you know, all those things, it has a very physical effect. So notice those areas and take the action that it takes to let those go. Tension in the body, disempowering stories, small self. All right. I wanted to go back to what Heidi said, just a small interlude there, because it's really beautiful. And then I want to talk about, well, how do we do that then? You know, look for those places. If that makes sense, that those places, we need to let go in those places, raise your hand. Like, did I get there? That makes sense. Just makes sense. Clearly. Okay, good. Heidi says, one of the places we hang on is chasing after money and security. And the words that are operative is chasing after. It's like clinging, you know? abundance is your birthright. It's meant to flow you. Money is like a river. It's meant to flow. It flows in. We send it out to other people. We buy, you know, I bought this beautiful chair. So it's like, you know, somebody made this and I love that. And they're taking care of it. Their family. It's meant to flow. But chasing after, that's raga, that's attachment. Security. As entrepreneurs, we take risks. If I cling to security, then I can't take that risk, right? That will allow me to open to the next stage, letting go of an idea, like Ethan's Village, letting go of an idea of what is supposed to be, the security of even an idea, right? And your heart, if you chase after money and security, Hardy says your heart will never unclench. Care about other people's approval and you'll be their prisoner. All the ways that we hang on and then we're enslaved, right? Do your work and then step back. The only path to serenity. Lao Tzu, in the Tao Te Ching, I think is how it's said, right? And so this our spiritual guides in multiple different areas tell us about this, right? And then how do we actually enact it? How do we actually make that real in our lives? So tension in the body, disempowering story, small self. Well, then how? How do we do this? The why comes first. The how will follow. I want to remind you of that. If we don't know why, we're not going to do it. If we don't know why it's that important, we won't do it. We can have all the how and we'll get all twisted up in our minds. But I do want to go right back to the beginning of the call. And I said we would come back to that. The deepest level of how that I know, all these pieces are important to notice them, right? My holding tension in the body, go for a run. It's going to help at all levels, right? Or whatever it is for you, right? Disempowering stories, notice it, transmute it, do the things that we know how to, let it go, let the editor go, et cetera, right? Small self, notice when I'm just reaching for the ceiling and hitting it. And this community will help with that. And there was the opposite of that in the vision call last time where Heidi was I just love that. Heidi's like, oh, it's not 5,000, it's 10,000. In that moment, you knew that. Does it mean you know that in every moment? The next moment, you might be going, the small self moment, right? And then letting go, right? So how do we do that? The biggest way that I know how, going back to near the beginning of the call and what I said about my brother and the call with my brother. And it's another reason I wanted to share that with you. If I just stayed there with trying to let go of staging the house, well, I could let go of it because maybe we wouldn't find the best, like these are the small ways. And I'm not saying these can't be effective, but maybe we wouldn't find the best person to stage it anyway. Maybe the house will sell anyway because even though it's empty, it's a really nice house and, you know, it's a good neighborhood and I can let go of it because these are kind of small letting goes, right? And working to try to let go. And I'm not saying they can't be effective. Let me think, what else could I say? I can let go of the staging of the house because maybe we can find a really good realtor and then the house will sell anyway. And can you see like all these things are workable and can help, but they're kind of like they're tactical. They're on the ground and they're trying to tackle that thing head on. And it's kind of like I can get so far with it and I can still keep, it's almost like I'm striving to let go. But that's not how the conversation with my brother went. Again, it's why I want to talk about it. I didn't do that. And we didn't do that together. I love my brother and he's beautiful. He's heart-centered. He's an artist and a musician and a creator and just an amazing soul. Instead, we went over here to the vision and the shared vision. And in fact, actually, yeah. So, and then when we said, listen, you know, I know what our parents would care about is that we love each other. That's all they cared about. And that we bring love into the world and we bring love to this and that we live good lives. And we're totally aligned with that vision. So I want you to do your vision, you know, play with that, really play with that and know it and focus on it and work it, work and play with it and work with it. It's huge because when we have that vision, that's ours. That's not some pipe dream. That's not some exercise that somebody told us to do. You own it and it's really yours in all the ways that we did in the vision retreat, right? That vision, like in the example with my brother, then doesn't that seem small when I say, well, maybe we'll find a good realtor? Can you hear how they're on completely different levels? I can let go of staging the house because, well, maybe the good realtor will be able to overcome the disadvantage of not staging the house. I enter into like the stratosphere exponentially different when I come from the vision. that other thing is just going to fall away. Do I care about staging the house? Yeah, but it feels like that to me now. I care about my brother. I care about our family. I care about the legacy that we leave for my daughter and my niece and my nephew. I care about the legacy of my grandfather. And he said, what I want to be remembered by, I love them all. I care about that and the ripple effect over here. How could I be, at odds with my family and then say, hey, come from love in your business? I would be out of alignment in my own business and my own life. Do you know what I'm saying? Doesn't mean I don't have moments of that. Of course I do, right? But that's the vision. The vision. If we keep looking over here at the thing we're trying to let go of, we're going to stay over here. Oh, that person done me wrong. That person, I don't like them. That person, whatever it is too, right? Lots of stuff. 180 degrees over here, we stay focused on the vision. That's the big thing that's going on in the science of getting rich too. What's your vision? What's your vision? What's your vision? It's why that's stage one. These things fall away. And then, oh, by the way, we live a totally different life. And we build our companies, all right? So, yes. I love that. I just seeing that now, Don. I love my bike. I saw it earlier, but then I'm like, my mind went over here and I'm back at it, right? Yes. That's the vision. And even like something, it reminds me of too, that what's the vision? Well, I'm going to ride my bike because I'm supposed to be in shape and it's good for me. No, that's not my vision. Like the deep level vision, the feeling of freedom. I can't wait to ride my bike again, right? And remember, vision is something that's a way of life. I can't wait to be on my bike again. That feeling of freedom that I had as a young university student, like cycling to the university, it was quiet. It was early morning. And then when they built the bike path, I can feel it in my bones. Can you feel it? And it comes from the past and it goes into my future of what I'm going to do. You know, as I'm getting my bike fixed this weekend, I can't wait to be cycling this summer and it pulls me forward. And then letting go of, I got to get it to the shop. It's got a flat tire now, whatever. How am I going to, let go of that blah, blah, blah. It's like falls away. It falls away. And Heidi puts it like this: the vision helps cut through the clutter to what is really your priority, what is really important. Exactly. Why we needed letting go right here. We understand the connection between them and why. It's another why for your vision, another level of the why. We see how important the letting go is, and the way to let go is the vision. And how to get to the vision is the letting go. Make sense? All right, jot down your biggest aha. I'm finding something for you. Keep writing. Something I forgot I wanted to share with you. Yes, okay, good. Finish up that last sentence, taking it to a place you can come back to at a later time. I just wanted to add one other tool to help let go, because I know like taking tension out of the body, and one thing, it's my way, you can find your own ways, but music for me, oh my goodness, music. And just because I can't help it, it's so beautiful. I've been listening to her over and over. There's different variations of music that helps us let go. There's one called Let Yourself Go that was from my grandparents' era, you know, in the 30s. It's like, what is it? It's like, I think it's Ginger Rogers or something. It's like a really cool tune. You can look it up. Let Yourself Go. My grandmother loved that. Yes, music and dancing, Dawn says. And then there's one called by Luba. It's called Let It Go. And so about 10 years ago, I was listening to those songs over and over and over again. Yeah, it was both of them about 10 years ago. Beautiful. Went right to my soul. Then there's one that I've been listening to recently, and you can find your own, but I just want to give you 2 minutes of this amazing, amazing, I'm going to optimize for video clip. Let's see. I think maybe that means I won't be able to see you, but hopefully you can hear this. I just want to play the beginning of it. Her name is Maylan Moritz. I didn't even know of her. My YouTube just landed on her, I don't know, months ago, and I've been listening to her. Music can help you let go in the body. So let me share this. Ziplining in the background there. So no, I can't see you guys. Hopefully you can hear this. I'm just going to play a little clip just so that we can be in the energy of letting go just for a few seconds. I think she's just utterly beautiful. Oh, you can't hear it. Hang on. Let's talk out here. Hang tight. Hopefully you'll be able to hear it.
I'm just going to hear it, Michelle.
You could hear it. Oh, it's just I couldn't hear it at my end. Okay. I think you'll be able to hear this. Just going to play a little clip. I'm still not hearing it. You guys are hearing it? Can you hear it?
We hear it.
I can hear it. Yep.
Okay, I can't hear it, but you guys can. So perfect. Okay, here we go. Accidentally hit my video off too, so I probably stopped her mid note because I couldn't hear, but you could hear her voice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's beautiful. Can you spell her name?
I unplugged the wrong thing. That's why I unplugged my camera. That's so funny. Let me put it in the chat for you. So just another dimension of letting go, and this is again so highly on the court. Business and life changing, you know, when we do these things. This was called, if I got the right one, which I believe I did. If not, I got another one of her songs, but this is the one that I've been listening to over and over. Maylan Moritz, Song for a Pure Heart. And then since then, I've discovered other playlists by her, like just brilliant and beautiful. So, hang on. She started singing on my phone here. Okay. All right. So letting go, why it matters so much, places to look for, how it's connected with your vision, and different ways to release and let go at multiple different levels, and how it allows you to actually live a life on purpose and grow your company in a way that is uniquely yours. Right? Just some of the places we've been to so far today. And what I want to do is, yeah, instead of opening it up to ahas right now, I want to open it up by a couple of questions. Wait, damn, questions here. Question. It's not in my binder. Oh, here. Yeah, no, it's not there. Oh, yeah. Anything bubbling up, bursting to be shared right now? From anything that's happened so far, it could be an aha, it could be a burning question. I'm not calling for like, hey, I want you to go find that question or find that aha, but if there's something that will distract you from the next piece, anything that wants to be said, this is a spot for it. Just giving a space.
Are you asking for ahas or just burning things?
If there's something that's like, wow, I really want to say this, because sometimes it makes it hard to think and hear the next segment. because you want to say something. It's that kind of call. It's a different call than when I'm actually looking for you to go find that aha. It's like, I just really wanted to say this. Can I say this? Do you have one of those, Karen?
Yeah, sort of, I guess. What I'm hoping to get out of this call is to stop the reruns that happen in my head. They're the ones that wake me up at night. I don't have them during the day. In the day, I'm feeling like I'm doing this and this. But then in the middle of the night, I wake up and I have these same recurring things.
You know, thank you for saying this, because when I left that space, you're taking us directly to the next part that I wanted to do. And that's to start doing some laser coaching with many of you here. And the question I was going to ask, the answer to which could have been what you just said. Here's how I was going to put it, but you took us right there. You know, what's the next thing you know you need to be doing but aren't doing? You know, what do you need to let go of to do that? Because here's the vision. We'll talk about that more next week, right? So assuming you have some version of that vision, I'm headed over here. And then there's a step toward it. And there's, you know, like Wallace Waddles said, it's like, it's acting in a certain way. If we don't act, it's not going to drop on our heads. It's like without action, the universe, by thought, by thought, that thing that we want comes to us, by action we receive it. That's what he says, right? So we need to act and do some stuff, but things get in the way of that. That's what I want to do, to contemplate what might be getting in the way of that. And one of the things that could be getting in the way of that is the fatigue of the reruns in my head at night that stopped me. Can you get it? So Karen was already stepping ahead. It's really fantastic. So thank you. I mean, you might think that's a funny thing to say, fantastic. Michelle, don't you understand this is painful, right? But it's fantastic when we see what it is and we can dive into it. And again, you were right. It means we're right on track in this call for where we want to go next. So reruns in my head and at night, more so at night. It's not happening in the daytime, but at night. And Karen, so just tell me a little bit more about that. Is it, just say a little bit more about that for like half a minute. What comes to mind? Like, when is it? What kinds of things run through your mind? What, you know, how does this, like, just tell us a little bit more so we can feel it with you.
I'm a detail-oriented person. And so I wake up thinking about, how am I going to do this? What's it going to look like? What am I going to offer? Will I get enough clients? I have to get, you know, 12 clients at 5,000 to get 60K, and I need, you know, how many 100K? I'm just like doing the numbers and
right.
Will it be a mastermind? Am I going to be on stage? Am I do one-on-one? Am I going to do group?
Right.
All the hows, the detail, right. But basically yeah. The fear of it not working. I wake up thinking, I can't do this.
Right. Yeah, got it. Okay. Thank you for this beautiful example of a disempowering story that can stop you from taking either action or effective action. Because we start to just go, I got to do this, got to do that, got to do that. And we race, right? Really, really great question. Okay. So I want to share, to address this question, I want to start by sharing a story. And I know that Yvonne would give me permission to tell this story because she's let me tell it before. And she would add some other pieces to the story, but I'm just going to tell this. So when she began this journey in 2014, in those days, I was working live rather than virtually. And it was local until I decided that it that it would be non-local. And then we built that because we just decided it. And then that's what happened. So it was local at that time. And so one of the things I did is I gathered people. We had a potluck. We did this a couple of times, you know? And so Yvonne came in, and right at the very beginning, it's like, here's going to be a potluck. And she said, okay, well, you know, what am I supposed to bring? I said, it's a potluck. Bring what you want. And like her, like you, she's very detailed oriented. She's very, you know, so it's like, got your spreadsheet, you know, and that's you too. And it can be both. It's a double-edged sword. It's a deep gift, and it also can hold us back, right? So she's like, where's the spreadsheet? Where's the checklist? And sometimes spreadsheets and checklists, like, we want those two. They can be really, really helpful, but they can also hold us back. She's like, are you kidding me? Like, and it caused her deep angst. Like, what if we all bring desserts? What if there's no chicken? And it really, truly was giving her heart palpitations. So this is one of the most important things we did. I'm like, Yvonne, she's like, I'll create the spreadsheet. You know, no, you won't. Like, this is potluck. Like, this was her work, you know, early on. Right? But I can, it's easy. I can, no, you can't. It's my potluck. You're not doing it. Like, it was a bit of early tough love. You've heard of the later tough love. This is early tough love. This is why I knew she could take it in 2020, right? This is an early potluck tough love with Yvonne. And so I asked her to do that because we disasterize, you know? And it's like waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's living life unconsciously in the genre of tragedy is one of the reasons we do this. And maybe it comes from, and it might be, each one of you might have some aspect of this. And Kieran has a big, you know, blueprint that way inside her. Like one of the ways that her editor comes up, her gift and her editor and Yvonne matches that, right? That part of you is similar, right? And so if I just said, here, you can organize that, we never would have tackled that editor. Do you get what I'm saying? And so living life unconsciously in the genre of tragedy, something horrible is going to happen if we don't organize this. So I talked to her that time. I said, you know, like, maybe everybody will bring desserts. Oh, well, you know, and I was going, yay, you know, like all good. It's okay. And as it turned out, we had a beautiful spread of all kinds of things. And Yvonne tells the story. She still has that spreadsheet inside her. She's like, I think what she says now, she's like, yeah, now I always bring chicken and a dessert because then at least we're covered. You know, there's still part of her that still wants to hang on, right? You know? But she moved through that because, well, what if it's all desserts? And that's about a potluck, but it's always that. What if it's just desserts? That's okay. And that's that piece of the science of getting rich. The man prepared everything and it failed for an inexplicable reason. Something bigger, way bigger came along the next week that he never could have anticipated. He never would have, you know, agreed to the first deal if you knew the next one was coming. And that's faith. And that's faith in that I'm going to have, to bring it down to earth level, to like everyday level, that I will have my coffee in the morning. Or maybe it's just even I'm going to have a beautiful breakfast with Dana or whatever it is. But attached to the how is going to cause, it's attachment causes suffering, the yogis say. And here's one of the attachments. And one of your go-to disempowering stories and attachments is the how. I have to know the details of the how, otherwise something's bad's going to happen. And probably there's a history and you could even tell me why, and something from your childhood, something from last year, something from, you know, and maybe some situations that felt out of control or whatever, wherever it came from, that I have to be in charge of this. Because, and I have to know the details of it or I will not get there. Yvonne learned it with a potluck, even though, like I say, there's still that. She would tell the stories a little bit differently. I've got it covered because there's a chicken, you know. But she let go of the need to have the spreadsheet. And it still worked out. And this goes right back to chapter 7 and gratitude. Because I have to know that things worked out. If I constantly think that things didn't work out, then I'm going to be counting all the things that went wrong. And then that's going to be my history. And then I look to the future, trying to stave off the history that's all these things that didn't work out. And so I better get all the details right, because before I think I didn't. And again, some of these pieces might be for you. Some, it's like I'm seeing some deep nods in the room, like different parts will be for different people. And so, Karen, I'm thinking both directly about you and then how that editor tends to manifest, and that's similar with Yvonne too, right? And so so I want to go to my daughter for a minute here too, you know. Sometimes we wait for it to be super painful. Like my daughter was really struggling, and Karen will come back to you in just a sec, but my daughter was really struggling in this healthcare field, and it got darker and got darker. And sometimes we got to hit the wall first until it's like finally, you know, broke through. It's like, no. And in this place, she can't control all the how, because she's actually living on purpose. So she doesn't have it all worked out. She had every single detail, because my daughter can do that too. every detail was in place in her journey before. And it still was. All the schools accepted her. They all wanted her to come, but she just said no. Over here, not so many details aligned. But that's because it's a newborn baby vision for her. She's a lot happier. She's had to let go, and now she's enjoying her coffee, you know? So this isn't just one single, there isn't like, here's a one-stop answer, but I want to give you some of the building blocks, some of the ways to think about it to help to, there's some, you know, tactical ways on the ground that we can release that, kind of like how I could release about the staging the house. Well, I can bring in the best realtor, et cetera, et cetera. You know, reruns at the night, like, I can tell you the things that I do now. I read a book every night that relaxes my mind. I've got, a head, you know, the thing that makes my room dark by the head, what's it called? Like a mask. So, cause I've got light coming into my room. And so I make sure that it's dark. I open the window cause I know that, you know, my sleep has gotten better because of that. So there's these tactical things, but when we see that, when we see the shape of our editor, it's, on the other side of that also, and I see you, Karen, in just one sec, that's also our gift, right? No, we can come back to if there's something else, or maybe we already answered it, I don't know. But when we see that editor, it's also our gift when we understand the gift that's there. Because I know that from you, and I know that from the time that we've spent together deeply in the last few weeks, I know that from Yvonne since 2014, you have this parallel with each other, not the same, but parallel, similar. That it's also part of your gift. And I can bet, and I know this of you too, but you know, you're really organized. You tend to details. You don't, you know, you're not going to like let things drop because there's a structure that helps people feel safe and cared for. And all these things are the flip side of that. So in pushing away that, you know, but stop reruns and that's bad and I'm doing something wrong and I'm not who I'm supposed to be. It's also your deep gift, and to embrace the gift part and then let the part that disserves you go. And Yvonne had to just take a deep breath and go in there and go to the potluck, right? And it's why also strategically, there's some pieces that you're asking for, Karen, particularly for you, but that for that part that's in all of us that wants that, we all had moments where we're not in control and we want to be in control of the details or whatever it is, right? It's particularly for Karen, particularly for Yvonne in resonant ways. But why sometimes I'm going to probably feel elusive to you. Sometimes it's going to be intentional, like with the potluck. Yvonne would have happily organized that potluck. She would have felt so much better in organizing that potluck. She would have breathed better walking to that potluck, and she wouldn't be where she is today if I don't let her organize the potluck that way. So sometimes I'm going to say, and the same thing that Diane, I know you've come to, it's like, wait, I don't have to have all the T's across I's dotted. I'm going to ask you to do it before you feel ready. Because otherwise you're going to always be crossing the T's, dotting the I's. Always you're going to be moving at a snail's pace compared to how quickly you can be moving, because you're going to be rushing and going slowly. Or you're going to be going slower and not rushing so much and not always feeling ready, but gaining the confidence that comes from knowing your own beauty, knowing your own worthiness, knowing that you have so much more to give that you won't be tempted to go get another certification. Do you get what I'm saying about the certifications? It's the very same editor. I need another certification. I need more. I'm not enough. I need to make sure I've got everything covered. Otherwise, something bad's going to happen. That's not true. And then there's the gratitude piece. It's like, whatever happened, what am I grateful for in this? In Shavasana, you might not have liked 99 things, but what's the thing you loved? So we train our attention there. And this happened, I want to tell you very I think this story will help as well. Yes, and I'm saying I'm a detailed person to you, Karen, I can relate to you. Know that that can serve you. And then in building a company, we're off into the unknown a lot. And powerful stories, the heroes in our powerful stories, they don't know all the pieces of the ending and they don't know exactly how to get there. They're doing powerful things. And our powerful stories about powerful heroes are like that because that's how it feels on the journey. We figure it out as we go. So that's one of the pieces. Know the gift of that. There's a deep gift in that. But also there's the letting go piece that I'm going to learn to let go. And for Yvonne, it was through a potluck. One of the ways that we did that. And there were other things as well, but just noticing what is coming up and letting go of little pieces of it. And then noticing what did work out so that you exercise that muscle and it's not once and done. Exercise of that muscle of like, look, that worked out. Look, that worked out. Look, that worked out. So Karen, I know you had your hand up. Did that already cover it in what I said? Or is there something else wanting to be said about that?
That was all very good. Thank you. You asked the question about, I wonder where it came from, and just real concisely, in my personality type coding training that I do, the different personality types, the knowledge personality type in me, it's not that knowledge people have to be right, but they're afraid of being wrong. The discernment in that is big, right? It's not that I have to be right, but I don't want to be wrong. So people that are high knowledge are the ones typically that want to sleep on an important decision before they make a decision. And then where that came from was about pleasing my dad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I just came to, that's my tears.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Well done. Mm. Well done in noticing that.
Yeah. He's gone now.
Yeah.
So thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, because we carry these stories long after the person is gone or out of our lives or gone, you know, and we don't need them there to be saying it, for it to be happening. And I am so happy, even though it's hard in the moment, way more fun on the journey. I'm not saying there's not going to be hard moments, right? But way more fun on the journey when you find that. Because otherwise, this is this moment, right? We continue on, and I'm going to try to get it right, and I'm going to put all the pieces together, and I'm reliving that. And can I tell them the example that we know between us, Karen? You end up mowing the lawn, don't you? Over and over and over and over and over again. I'm wanting to get it right. Yeah. Diane, I see you, and it's often like this, right? Want somebody's attention. Then we're going to run our companies that way. We're going to want people's attention. We don't mean to do it. We're such heart-centered people in the room. We're really trying to serve. But that thing is the disempowering story that it's like time to let go of it. Because we want to let go of things that could be there at a certain stage, but at the next stage of the business, there's no room for that anymore. That needs to be let go of. It's my analogy for that is, it's like, let's say I decide that my task is I want to take the garbage out. That's all I want to accomplish in the world. I can be mad at my daughter. I can be in a big feud with people. I can be, you know what I'm saying? I can hate my neighbors. I can not know where the corner grocery store is. Like a whole bunch of things can be going wrong. And I'm going to reach my goal of taking out the garbage. I might not feel really great in my life if that's because I'm reaching for the ceiling and hitting it. But then if I have that vision that scares the life out of me, like Heidi in that moment of, you know, it's not 5,000, it's 10,000. That's her in that moment owning it. She might forget in the next moment, but in that moment owning it. Now at that level of vision, if I carry all that stuff to the next level, I'm leaking too much energy and there isn't the energy and the focused intentionality for that next level. Yeah, now it's Heidi too, right? You're hearing this. Good, good, good. That's why we're doing this letting go. It's stage one, right? And like, we've never done it before. I've never trained like this before. A lot of unconscious competence brought to the surface for you guys. It's like, how does this actually happen? The why and the how and the what, so you can actually get there. So yeah, without this, this is, and Karen, thank you for this. And Karen, you guys all know that Karen was there as I was speaking. Thank you. It was so beautiful to be in front of that audience. And why all I want them to hear in 20 minutes is that stories are everywhere. If they hear that and they really get that, they can start to be in this world, but they're not ready for what Karen just said yet. They might be, they could even be soon, but they're not ready to hear that yet. but that one piece, and to know that stories are everywhere, and then this is how it gets enacted. They're empowering and disempowering stories. You can choose. It's what I taught from stage. They didn't know that it was this that Karen is saying here. To let go of that disempowering story so that you're, otherwise you have all the right structures and systems. You keep getting another certification. You keep selling, 50-cent widgets. You keep trying to get it, like, sound familiar? You keep trying to get it right. And you got to perfect it even more before you can be worthy enough to stop charging 50 cents. And then we go to $1 and then we go to $1.50 or whatever your equivalent of this is, 200, 1,000, 2,000. It's all the same to me. And we're always unworthy and we're always trying to strive. And then we wonder why we can't get there. And then our confidence erodes. You find that one disempowering story and you see it. It's going to run over and over and over again in different places. Karen, thank you for finding it here. That alone, that knowledge, that awareness will help you unplug it. And you can do all the tactical things in the world, like with... the way I unplugged in a tactical way, the need to stage a home. Well, I'll find a good realtor. Well, I'm still staying over there. Yes, they can be helpful. Well, I'll put on, our time management things or sleep help, and put on the mask and do all those things. Those are good to do. You can do those too. But at the root of it is story. And at the root of it is letting go of that disempowering story and seeing where it's playing. You don't have to do it. You can stop mowing the lawn. You can stop mowing the lawn. And you can grow your garden or throw your party or, go for a hike or what, your vision, your life, what you choose. And then everything gets so much easier. Thank you, Karen. Yeah. So that was my aim. From my question of what's the next thing you need to do but aren't doing, and what do you need to do, let go of to do it? And for Karen, it might be, well, I need to even be able to see what the next thing is because there's so many things running through my head, right? That's how, if she'd been answering that question. So how do I stop that so I can even clearly see what the next thing is? And that's that piece. Go back to the whole retreat on vision. If you listen to that whole thing, after this moment, you'll hear the whole thing at a deeper level. You hear it in a whole different way. Fabulous. Thank you. All right. So here's what I want to do. I asked you that question, but I think what I want to do is just open it up generally to a couple more of you to be able to do that kind of, so was that helpful? Helpful to you, Karen, right? Helpful. I mean, I was watching your faces around the room. I'm like, if that wasn't helpful, go back and listen to the recording, right? I'm seeing nods around the room. Fantastic. Okay. Who would like to go next with something that, hey, is in the way of you doing that thing, or you have the vision, but you're hanging on to something that is not allowing you to believe your vision. I'm going to let it be a little more general. I had a more specific question I was going to ask, but Karen inserted herself into this laser coaching without me even asking the question. So I'm just going to see how that sits. Is there something that like Karen did, that feels like it's a sticky point for you? There's something you should be doing, but you should be doing, but you're not doing it. Yeah, Heidi, there it is.
This is as of this morning, so it's very fresh for me.
Yeah.
And it's related to the letting go of the original vision of Ethan's village and expanding to Ethan's happiness. And then the how of that now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also the realization that I want to work with my ideal client is not me at the beginning in agony. It is me 2 years ago, a year ago, someone who is ready to let go of fear.
So I want you to stop there, because did you take all that in of what Heidi just said? There's so much wisdom already in how posed that setting up of the question, even.
Thank you.
Who our ideal client is, what stage they're in the journey can make or break a company. It won't make or break it, so long as you can let go and go to the next iteration of it, right? The next iteration of the vision, like we talked about with Anna Maria's vision, right? The earlier iteration of it was somebody like me at the beginning when I was falling apart. that one shift changes a company, changes a life. Letting go of who you think your ideal client is. You take your best shot at it. Go do the work. Remember what we talked about from the create your offer, right? Go do the work with a real person and allow that to, that's a letting go. It's a deep letting go. Allow that to shift your vision of who you are, what your company is, what you're doing. And that can feel so much better. So all the pieces that you've already done, Heidi, this is huge for your company. For that, if you were trying to build for that early version of you, you could, same with Karen, you could have all the structures, all the systems, have somebody build your funnel, have somebody, you know, build you a $50,000 website, like all of that stuff. And it's, we can project, we can foresee what's going to happen 6 months down the road, even with all that, because of that one piece that hasn't been let go of, that one piece of letting go and that one part of the story of who it is that I want to work with. So just wanted you guys to hear the background before whatever it is that you want to bring to us. There's a lot for all of us in this. Thank you.
Well, related to, and part of it is letting go of what I would be doing with them. And that I'm a little shaky right now to even say this because I feel like I'm honoring myself to say my energy, what lights me up is in telling my story and making connections and not so much the coaching piece and the letting, and, but then what about the money? And no. And so I really am letting go of monetizing as a word and then thinking I'm not to the science of getting rich. I'm not going to look at the fear. I'm not going to look at the why not. I'm going to look at what is possible if the world is different. Even though it feels really scary.
Yeah.
And to, like Heidi, change the world, make it a kinder place for people who are different. It's too big, too much. What are you doing? How are you going to make this pay? What are you doing? And I'm like, I don't care. I want that.
Can hear the deep letting go. And sometimes it's even hard to articulate it, you know, like I know that I'm in the midst and like Heidi says, this is fresh. This is like today. So I know that I'm in a deep letting go of an earlier version of it. And I'm in the process of the same thing I was talking about with Anna Maria, such a beautiful vision that part of your work is going to be in letting go because it's going to shift and grow with you. And I can't tell you exactly which piece will shift and grow even, right? And Heidi, if for instance, if somebody had said to you, well, Ethan's Village, to let go of that, that's at a certain stage, that would have been, are you kidding me? And don't you hear what's important, right? But then the next level, next version of yourself hears, and there's an even deeper version. That's Science of Getting Rich, that same story again, the next level. You know, there was a deal, but the next one was even so much bigger. Trusting that the next one's so much bigger. And so, here's the thing I want to say, Heidi. Sometimes our editors are so sneaky. This feels a little bit like the moment in 2020 with Yvonne, I got to tell you. Because, and a little bit like when you were finding out that you were bumping into the wrong client. And then which piece do I want to let go of? So just waiting for the moment so you'll hear this easily. This is really beautiful. And I don't know if you'll love this immediately, but you might. And I think in the long run, you're really going to love it. All right. And you may love it now. We'll see. You just put your stake in the ground for an even bigger vision 2 days ago. And you knew it and owned it in that moment. And then in the owning of that moment, all like you saw the value of the work, right? In a moment, it's like, this isn't 5,000, this is 10,000. Oh my goodness. And I was still trying to align with 5 and now it's 10. And then we scare ourselves. Then we scare ourselves. In the moment we know that. And then the scarcity starts to come up. Because it's like, but how? And how's it going to happen? And so then circulation, ideas circulating about the money and about the vision, it's not surprising that they're coming up right now. And, you know, when you said, but it's not so much about the coaching, it's just interesting to me because it's like, this reminds me of the moment too, when you said, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go and sell widgets, really is how I heard it, right? I'm just going to go reach a lot of people, but I'm going to keep them far away. Because they hurt. Would that be accurate? You know, before when like I want to reach a whole bunch of people that were so broken, like I was at the beginning, but when I'm up close to them, they hurt. So I'm just going to go and put it on YouTube, something like that. I'm not saying YouTube is bad, but like there's a piece of that's the small self piece, right? To let go of that and to know, no, I can work with exactly the person that lights me up. And then all the pieces in the high ticket virtual retreat and all the high ticket work. And then you're so deeply in the knowing of that a couple of days ago. And then there can be editors that come up about it. And you, there's both editors and owning pieces that you're doing right now, I think, because the owning it is when you said like, what lights me up is when I get to share my story. And not the coaching piece. And then, but what about the money piece? And it's like all kind of feels kind of tangled up and hard and scared, but also on the edge of something big. Do some journaling. You're on the brink of something really good and really important, right? But the thing about like the irony is like before when it was the wrong, I'm trying to find the words to say it, like which piece do I want to let go of? This is what I'm trying to aim at here. Mm-hmm. Which piece do I want to let go of? And when you bumped into your wrong ideal client, it was like, let go of the ideal client altogether, almost. Like, let go of that person. It's like, no, just find the right person. Does that make sense so far, Heidi?
Right.
And then it's the same thing. It's like, well, I think it's not the coaching. And this is the piece that's a little bit like where I was saying, like Yvonne, like, well, I don't know, Heidi. Like your highest level clients who really, really get it, who are on the path with you and who've lived and experienced much like you and who are just a little ways away from you and could learn from your wisdom and your knowledge and your story, who's going to want to hear your story more than them? Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's right in that, it's not running away from the ideal client, but go deeper into her, but just adjust it. So it's not the early version, it's the later version of you changes your company. And I'm saying like I was saying a kind of in your face thing to you, Yvonne, but I'm saying kind of in your face thing to you a little bit, even when you're this vulnerable, she was vulnerable then too, but I'm trusting that you'll be able to hear my words, right? That that's not a negation of the coaching. That's the exact place for it. It's not the only place for it.
Mm.
I mean, watch me telling all these stories here. Are you kidding me? Right?
True.
It's the immediate, exact, perfect venue for your stories. Who more would want to learn and need and learn from your stories? Right? So to me, what's happening, and again, only you will know when you look in deeply. When Yvonne looked in deeply, she's like, oh yeah, it's like that. I'm not presuming to know for sure because it's your story and it's your life. But here's the piece that I'm hearing, and that's that you're okay if I go to the, you know, the kind of tough level. I've already been doing that, but I'm seeing you taking this in, even in a vulnerable moment, because I know that you can hear. I know you have the capacity to hear this, right? And then this is for everyone. It's like, which piece do we let go of? It's sneaky. Our editors are sneaky. And our small self will ask us to let go of the wrong pieces. wrong for our lives and our vision. So earlier on, it was like working with the ideal client is painful. So I have to push her away, further away, and I'm going to talk to lots of them. Instead, go deeply into that ideal client, know them like J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter, and find out which one you're meant to work with. Well, I don't know, you know, about where the money comes from, but I know that what lights me up is telling my story. So I will let go of the fear, and maybe it's not about the coaching, but what's possible if the world is different? I mean, that's really opening. That's really beautiful, right? But that very same thing that feels like the thing that you want to push away is the very route toward it.
Okay. Oh, I see that.
Now you're seeing it, right? So you scared yourself 2 days ago by the bigness of your vision. So then you pulled back both from the money and the coaching that are the very route to getting you toward what you are telling us you're wanting. Were you able to hear that? That was really deep dive level coaching. That was not at all surface level. But you guys are ready for this. Did you hear what I was saying? Because each of you has something of this for you. We create a vision that is so big it scares us. We're accidentally going to push away a part of the vision. And then it's letting go of, like, getting support too and finding out so that we can actually stay on track with our vision. And again, it's going to shift and change and grow. And if Heidi, you said, no, like, can I be extreme so that you'll be able to hear it? If Heidi goes, no, are you kidding me, Michelle? Like, the idea of coaching anybody makes me want to vomit. You know what I mean? Right. And I just, like, I so hate that. I'm not doing that. I would hear that and we would adjust. Do you know? Anna Maria, again, is a good example. Like, I don't know. I think with Anna Maria, it might be selling a horse. It might be something else, but it doesn't have to come in a particular form. But I think it's the editor will try to push away the very thing that is the root there out of our own fear. Got to let go. And you said it about the fear. Letting go of the fear. And I heard you pushing away first, was it a couple months ago now? Pushing away the ideal client and then pushing away the coaching. And these are the very things that are the venue for the very things that you're saying you want. Right. They don't have to be. It's not the only route there, but we scare ourselves and we pull back from the vision. Mm-hmm. Does that ring true for you, Heidi?
It does. I think what was happening is because of the experience with the person who was not the ideal, and you talked about the body and feeling the energy drained from my body, I have not yet had the experience of coaching someone who would replenish my energy. And I'm coming from I'm trying to honor my own energy with this, and oh my goodness, I don't want someone else who will drain me, and I'm making a linkage that the ideal client will also drain me, when in fact it's probably the opposite.
Thank you. So it's letting go of the idea, which is a disempowering story that we've created by how we're looking at our past and what we think happened, right? And but remember, again, in the science of getting rich, I keep going back to that one story. This thing, you know, failed in an inexplicable way, but he carried on. He knew something bigger was en route.
Right.
That's every single piece in that book. I just is genius. Right. So letting go of the fear, letting go of what happened in the past, letting go of the version of what happened in the past. Yes. You will send her blessings in the end because she has done so much to help you construct your vision of what you want, from Ethan's village to Ethan's happiness, from who the ideal client is, not you at the beginning. And both of those views are beautiful. But that's just not your work. To you a couple of years ago, that's a completely different client, completely different life for you and her, completely different outcome for your life and your world. And then letting go of the idea that it's going to be like it was before. I had this thing happen. It didn't go well. So this probably won't go well. So I got to stave off and I'm going to push it away. That's devasia, aversion, pushing things away. And the yogis say, when we're in aversion, we will always suffer.
Oh,
right, this is it on the court, right? So I wanted to dive in with at least a couple of you so we could see how this works right on the court. If you heard what I was saying, the intricacy of all the components that we've been talking about, the whole retreat coming together from the from the vision to the letting go, to also the gratitude, because gratitude is also a piece that can enter in there. Because right now, I'm not saying like artificially feel grateful. I'm so glad that you were an awful client to work with. I'm just being honest, right? That person that you worked with, right? That was hard. That's like artificial surface level. And that's not what I'm talking about. But looking for and finding the opening for that deep level gratitude that you're a deeply grateful person, but it's not in you yet. Instead of gratitude, there's pushing away and fear. That's okay. It means you're human. Ask my team, ask my daughter if I've done that. Are you kidding me? When was the last time? Probably yesterday. I don't know. You know, it happens. It's okay that that happens. That seeing that story, disempowering story sooner, noticing what's happening, not, you know, sometimes we'll still go as deep, but it, you know, sometimes people get stuck there for lifetimes. We can turn this around so, so quickly. It's why I'm so excited about our Q&A times too, where you can bring these questions to me. We can do a deep dive and see where are the places where you're getting stuck, and sometimes where you don't even know it. And this, in the form, it's sneaky in the form of what sounds like, and part of it was a next level vision, and part of it was an editor, and part of it was a version pushing away that non-ideal version of your client, instead of being able to look back into the past with gratitude. And it doesn't happen automatically. It's not happy face and empty gas gauge. It's the story, some of you know the story about Carly, past, present, and future. It took work for Carly to see that past Carly differently. You're in the same process right now. Because it's also the past self. There can be a beating up on past self. I should have known better. Maybe I shouldn't have worked with her, or whatever it is. I don't know what's going on inside you, but it might be some of those things, right? Maybe if I'd coached her better, or maybe like there could be all kinds of things wrapped up in there. So grateful for that earlier self, sending blessings to that earlier self, letting go of that negative picture of that interaction, even if it was hard, being able to come to a place to see the blessings. And you don't have to start in the hardest place. That might be the hardest place to start, but instead you could think of somebody that you've had a conversation with. Maybe it wasn't even somebody that you were working with. You had have you ever had a conversation with an autistic, you know, an autism mom, and you made a difference?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, having more of your energy there, like Shavasana, 100 things I didn't like, but the one thing I loved. Oh, that was a big, but I didn't like, Michelle. It means you're on the court doing the work. Entrepreneurship is the biggest personal development training that I know of, because it forces you to face yourself in this and see where you're pushing and see where you're letting go of your own vision, and then having the opportunity to put your stake in the ground and to be this raw and authentic. Like, this is fabulous. Thank you. Because that is what brings you to that next level. And then everybody learns, right? So thank you for this. That takes courage. That takes putting your stake in the ground to be this raw and vulnerable here, right? And then even to be coachable in this moment. If this was our first time meeting and I didn't know you, no way I would have just said these things. No way. Because I would be judging it and I'm like, will you be ready to hear this? And it could backfire, right? Didn't she hear me? Didn't she hear what a vulnerable moment this was? Did she, you know? But I know you're ready for the next level. So we went there, and I'm here, you all too, seeing this. And that is that next level of letting go. That's that next level of holding to your vision. That's that next level of knowing what your birthright is, of the work that is so much more fun, so much more engaging, and standing for that and knowing that you are worthy of that, that that is your birthright, and that nothing wrong happened before. That's that lesson of that story that I've continued to go back to 4 or 5 times on this call from Science of Getting Rich. Nothing wrong has happened. You will have already and will continue to learn from that. And the clients that come to you from here, I believe eventually you'll be sending blessings to her. It might not feel like that. Maybe even for a year, maybe till tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe till an hour from now, right? Because you will know who that person is that you want to work with so deeply. And then the value of the coaching, because again, you scared yourself with the bigness of your vision on Tuesday, I do believe, right? And so it's owning that and coming back to that. And then what price point you should offer it at? If it's 5,000, but you know it to be 10,000 now, what's the actual price point that you should offer? Think of all the high ticket virtual retreat, and we'll come to high ticket virtual retreat 2.0 in July. But that's a calibration inside you. And remember, it can be 10,000. You can offer it to the first person for 5,000 if you want. But I want you to know and come back to that. Know it in your bones at 10, and know it even to be 20. Now, I'm not kidding at all. That takes the work of actually seeing big self, seeing who you really are. You can't see you. How can you see the person in front of you? Owning it. And then why would you push away the exact audience in coaching, for instance, where those stories uniquely belong, where they will uplift probably more than anywhere else in the world, although they'll uplift in beautiful other ways as well elsewhere. It is pushing away the very thing that allows you to achieve your vision. Because the editor, when we get big, the editor goes, no, back off, be small. Let that go. Don't listen to the editor letting go. Don't let go of your vision, right? The editor will ask you to, that's more like abandonment. Abandon your vision because the editor is scared. The vision is beautiful. You are beautiful. It's your birthright. Yeah, I see you heard. Thank you for being courageous enough, for being vulnerable enough to share this, because I can't think of a better way to tie together all the things that we were learning about today. You're hearing it? Yeah, I see you nodding. Yeah, I see you, Anna Maria. You got it. Yeah, I see you. I see you all in this room. You got it. All right. And Karen, yes, the answer is yes. She sent me a note. Yes. Yes. Glad you're here. All right. We are already a few minutes over, but I could not just leave that hanging. Heidi, feeling complete for now around this? There's going to be much that will unfold from it, but I want to leave you in a place that is okay for now.
I'm very good for now.
Good. Yeah. This, what's just happened, I know you heard it, and what just happened was beautiful. This is another moment like this, right? And then do some journaling, go for a walk, right? And that's true for all of you. If you had ears to hear what's happening inside Heidi, there's a part of that that's happening inside you too, around all those pieces that we've been working with, the vision, the letting go, how they're connected, where the gratitude comes in, why I've asked you to read Science of Getting Rich and read it more than once, and I hope you'll do the challenge, because I couldn't hear that even after reading it 8 times. It took me reading it over and over again to hear the depth of it, right? And I want to read to you here, like I did on Tuesday in the Offer Creation Workshop, Offer Creation Retreat, these last lines, because you're going to hear them in this context differently again. Just got to open, I've got it here beside me. That last chapter is wonderful. The summary, every word is crucial. He says, the men and women who practice the foregoing instructions, like the entire book, and we were talking about some pieces of it, and we can see from this call why some pieces are so important, like the gratitude piece or whatever, right? How integral it is, right? The men and women who practice the foregoing instructions will certainly get rich. Can you see why he can say the certainty part too? It's not like immediate and right in the moment, because it's work. We're doing the work right here, right now to do that, right? But it's certain because of the depths of it. It's certain because of when we're actually that cellularly grateful, when we actually can see that moment different, when we actually can own the vision, it's unstoppable. Can you hear that now? Like why he says that's certain. So the men and women who practice the foregoing instructions will certainly get rich, and the riches they receive will be in exact proportion to the definiteness of their vision. Holding to that definite vision, this is what I want, and staying there. The fixity of their purpose, I'm going to head over there. That is what I'm doing, no matter what, even holding through this moment that can be hard to come through. But that's fixity of purpose to continue forward and actually do the things to enact it. The steadiness of their faith. Yes, I know this is unfolding, and I know this is my birthright. And I know I've got the support of this community, and that I have faith that I'm getting there, because this is a certain path. Now, I can't promise you. Here's how I say it to myself. I'm like, I might die first, you know? I mean, maybe I'll get hit by a bus tomorrow. I sure hope not, you know? But the vision is completely certain. That's where this is going. There's no doubt in my mind of where it's going. I mean, I just might die first. Oh, well, somebody will carry on the work. Or maybe we have many lives or whatever it is. But the path is utterly certain. Can you hear my words? Are we in a place where you're able to hear that? The riches they receive will be an exact, and again, the riches, because that's what uplifts everybody on the planet. All the things he talks about, that is really win-win-win. It's creative plane, not the competitive plane. It's win-win-win, uplifting the world, right? Will be in exact proportion to the definiteness of the vision, the fixity of their purpose, the steadiness of their faith. And that's like earned. It comes from like this work, for instance, right? And the depth of their gratitude. A whole next level of that here in our letting go retreat, right? He doesn't speak directly about letting go, but in this summary, but he does in the story that I talked about. It's a deep letting go in order to hold the vision. He talks about it in different ways, right? And the fixity of it's in actually every part of it. I've never even realized this till this moment. The fixity of their purpose comes from the letting go of the other things, right? The steadiness of their faith, because they're going to let go of those disempowering stories. I know that that's my birthright. I know that's where I'm headed. The definiteness of their vision. We talked about how that's deeply, the vision and the letting go are deeply connected, and the depth of their gratitude. We saw such a deep example right here. Or even Karen earlier, grateful. I could see it in that moment, the gratitude in Karen about the knowingness of what was going on with the mowing the lawn. That was a moment of gratitude I could see in her. I don't know if she would have named it like that in the moment, but like, oh, right. Oh, now I know that, right? And in the knowing of that, we become free. And so much more is possible for us. Letting go. Stage one. Integral to the creation and manifestation of the vision. Not as pipe dream, but actual lived reality. Not to mention stage two, right? Actually being that big self, being on the court and doing it. Good for now. Well, I want to hear, you know me, if you're able to stay. I know we're late today, but wow, I couldn't just leave that hanging. So thank you for being here. Whether you're here live or also if you're still listening to my voice in the recording, thank you for holding steady to your vision, holding steady to the letting go. That's an integral part of the vision. So one aha and one inspired action. This could be your most important moment, actually, in this moment. Open to the possibility that could be. Because there was something that you didn't really hear, but somebody else heard. It could be your biggest breakthrough right now. Just letting go of all the things that were said and being in this moment now. Anna Maria, you're up first. You're in my top left corner. One aha, one inspired action.
I just wanted to say thank you to Heidi, because many times she articulates and expresses everything so beautifully, and things that sometimes I am feeling, I cannot say them yet. But when I hear Heidi say, oh yes, I resonate with that. That is happening to me. And so I'm always so grateful, Heidi, for your way of articulating things so beautiful.
Thank you.
That's a beautiful aha and a beautiful sharing. You might have another aha you want to say, but I love that. Thank you for expressing that. Yeah, absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Anne-Maria.
Just one quick win.
Yes, go for it. Yeah. I didn't leave a space for wins at the beginning. Wow, you go ahead. Absolutely. I can't wait to hear it. And also keep posting those wins. I've been loving them in Slack. Keep posting them here. Keep sharing them here. If I don't make room for it, man, you just tell me, all right? Like you just did, claiming that space. Thank you, Anne-Maria. Go ahead. And if anybody needs to leave in a moment, no harm, no fault, no fault. You'll catch it in the recording. Thank you for being here. Anne-Maria, go ahead.
I went to see a new client yesterday for a writing lesson. And so when she, and I had in my mind, what was I going to charge her? And I was very proud of myself because I did charge a lot more than I usually charge for an hour. But when I looked at it, I said, I wonder what Dr. Michelle is going to think about. I think it's too low still. But it was up and higher for me.
Anne-Maria, fantastic. Man, own it. own it. Yeah. This is fantastic. You are on the path. You owned it. You did it. Yes. Thank you for that. That's beautiful. I love it. So somewhere in there definitely was an aha, but if there's another one you want to articulate, an aha, an inspired action. And thank you for sharing everything you've shared. Beautiful.
Well, my aha was to really listen to the wisdom of my body, because my body has a lot to say of how are things going in my life.
Thank you for hearing that. And the body is like this, we're holding stuff. We're not letting go, right? And we're somewhere, there's a disempowering story, deep wisdom there. Thank you for picking up that piece. Yes, that can change the trajectory of our companies and our lives, that one piece. And your inspired action.
I'm going to journal for sure, so I am able to express better what I'm feeling or thinking, or maybe some things will come out more to the surface, I think.
Fantastic. Yes. Thank you. Love it. Yes. Introspection, knowing what's actually going on, so we can have that one action that many results, right? We don't want to journal for a lifetime and never get out of our chair, but that opening that happens when we can actually see what's going on and then take a different action, like Karen with all the stuff that she's doing and the stuff going on in her mind, like clarity, that action, that vision. Yes. Beautiful. Thank you. Diane.
Letting go of the disempowering stories will help me be free and help me to create a bigger vision.
Yes. Thank you. That's one of those buffo moments, you know, blinding flash of the obvious. We talk in some ways about nothing other than that all the time, all the time, all the time, in its various iterations, in its various forms. But I see you owning that. I see you knowing that at a whole different level than I've ever seen you own it and know it before. That is fantastic. That's cellular. That's owned knowledge that is life-changing. Thank you. And your inspired action.
I'm going to do more things to release the tension from my body.
Yeah, beautiful. I'm so glad that you guys heard that. I'm so glad. I've not taught it in that way before. And I have done it for not just years, but decades, and unconscious competence. So thank you for hearing it. It's a deep part of the journey. When we do that, we take different actions. We have different stories. We envision bigger, you know? Fantastic. Yeah. So a great thing to do is like dance it out before you write out your vision, you know? So don't have that vision come from tension. Have it come from the release and the openness. Beautiful. Thank you. Heidi, you're next.
I have to let go of fear. Mm-hmm. And I realize that in the creating of my vision, if there's avoidance, that is focusing on what I don't want.
Thank you. Yes. And it'll come up, and then it comes up again, and you know, you can start to see it sooner and hear it and assimilate it and make the turn. And this is fantastic. Yes, Heidi. Yes, yes, and yes. Thank you. What's your inspired action?
To journal.
Yes. A lot of introspection in this. And this is beautiful. You know, it was in my notes. I'm like, no, don't tell them that. This is more. But the definition of yoga itself, Tapas Svadhyaya Ishvara Pranidhanani Kriya Yoga. And then Yoga Sutras, let me tell you what that means. Tapas. What they say, the definition of yoga is tapas, burning zeal. Like, I'm going to do this, right? Svadhyaya, self-study. I need to actually know what's going on. And that's what, as you're speaking about journaling, that's what you're doing. It's like, what's actually going on? So I can only stay there if I never act. It's not going to be out there in the world. Nothing happens, right? But tapas svadhyaya, self-study, Ishvara Pranidhanani, that's like devotion to the divine, knowing that there's something higher. It's like the antidote to that klesha of avidya, not knowing how big I am, right? And I see you doing that. And when you said that I'm going to journal, I hear you guys enacting what the yogis say frees us. I've told you about the klesha is what binds us and what frees us. You're doing it. It's like this burning zeal, self-study, and devotion to the highest, like something bigger. When we're doing that too, in the vision, owning all who we are. Thank you, Heidi. Beautiful. Marnie.
I went back to my aha from earlier of the vision and faith lead to freedom. Yeah. And I've mentioned before that I'm working on a book called The Three Gratitudes, and it's about my grandmother, my mother, and myself. And my grandmother's gratitude is family, and my mother's is faith. And I've always been playing with freedom as mine. Mm. And today I see how that fits.
Ah, beautiful. Love it, Marnie. Thank you. Yes. What's your inspired action?
Well, to journal, but to journal in part by writing it into the book. And to keep reaching out to people to get strategy sessions and get it clearer and clearer what it is I'm doing.
Marnie, I'm so glad you said this. And that's one of the things I'd encourage you to do before our Q&A call on Monday, Tuesday. It's like, keep connecting it back. That's that link between stage one and stage two. Okay, I'm going to journal and then go and act. Go and do that. Go and be that. Otherwise, we can end up like the journaling can open us and then it can contract us if we stay there too. Do you get what I'm saying? So I love that you've brought that in, Marnie. It's like, okay, I'm going to see more and I'm going to go do. I don't have to wait till it's perfect. I'm going to see more. I'm going to go do. Fantastic. Yes. Karen, are you in a place? Let me see. I can see that you can chat, but add to the chat. Karen, are you able to speak? If you are, one inspired action. If you're not, that's all fine too. Yeah, got it. So Karen is not able to speak right now, but I hear you. I know you all, like, I know you, I feel your presence here. I know that you're, you know, participating in the chat too. I love it. So thank you so much for really playing full out. I've been teaching about letting go for countless years. This is my favorite ever because of the depth of the place that we got to and the realness for our companies and the realness for our visions and that enactment in the world and how deeply it's connected with the vision and enacting it, how deeply it's connected with both stage one and stage two. Like, thank you for showing up with your full self here. Thank you for where we've got to here. Again, it's been many, many, many years of teaching this and you guys, thank you. Thank you for showing up with all of you here. It's been an outstanding. Looking forward to seeing you. Remember, we've got the office hours tomorrow too. So one line questions, right? Taking all of this and focusing it. It doesn't have to come from this. Like, what's my next step? What's my next step? What am I doing on the core? Whatever you have that is your question. I'll see you there in office hours tomorrow. I'll see you there for the Q&A call on Monday and on Tuesday. And then for our quarterly planning call on Thursday, that is a great gathering place for vision itself. How do we figure out what we're doing this quarter that connects with that vision that has me on the court and letting go and do, like, it brings all these things together, right? So have a fantastic day, everybody. I'll see you real soon. Thank you for staying here till this time. Bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye for now.